My name is Clint Schultz. I'm 45 years old. The date is the 10th of January, and I'm speaking with Jeanette Moser, who is my mother, and we're recording this interview in Wellington, New Zealand.
My name is Jeanette Constance Moser. I was born on the 25th of December, 1938. And being the 25th, which everyone says is Christmas, is actually a special day to have a birthday. Everybody gets a present on my birthday. People have often said, how sad, you only get one present. Nonsense. The world has presents, and that's what makes it so special.
Okay, Mom, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? And what were you like as a child?
It's a long time ago to try and remember that. I'm living my 81st year now, but I think I was quite a shy child, and I was always scared to ask grown-up questions in case or for them to ask me questions, I should say, in case they thought I was stupid. I never thought I was adult enough or grown up enough to ask questions. I don't think I was a naughty child. I don't know what naughty is. Children are not really naughty. They're taught how to be mischievous. I was quite cute, I think, at one stage. I must have been. What was I like as a child? I think I was easygoing. I fitted into things. I liked to please people. I always loved animals.
Okay, great.
It's kind of difficult. I can't remember too much.
Can you tell me about your grandparents and your great-grandparents, if you remember them?
Oh, I wish, I wish, I wish. My grandparents were murdered in the war, not by Nazis. We are of Jewish descent. My mother was born in Berlin, a German Jew, a Jew, and my father was born in a place called Stettin, which was then Poland and was annexed by Germany. So sadly, their parents and their family were lost in the war, many I think in gas chambers, etc. So I wish I could tell you anything about my grandparents or my great grandparents.
Okay. Tell me about a favorite memory you have of me.
Oh, there are so many favorite memories of you. When you were born, I called you my funny face because you had the cutest, funniest little face. And then you became my sunshine because you were forever smiling. You were a happy baby, a really sweet, happy baby. I recall once giving you a little clown that when you wind it up, it jumped around like a clown. It was a little metal, soft metal, part metal toy. And when you saw it and it started to jingle and jump around, your eyes absolutely lit up. You had, out of all my beautiful children, you had the most expressive eyes I've ever seen on any child. When you were troubled, it showed in your eyes. When you came back once you'd been down to the river, and I said, "What's happened?" I could see in your face immediately. You said there were some big boys there and they were hurting the toads, the frogs, and you were really upset, and you said they were also bullying you, and you came back, but you were very upset about the frogs. Can you remember that, Clint?
Okay.
Can you really?
Yeah.
And your eyes expressed it all. There are many memories. As I said, you have the most expressive eyes.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Oy vey. I've had many difficult moments, but thank goodness difficult moments move on. And I think it's impossible to name one difficult moment. A difficult time was when two of my grandchildren were denied to me by my one daughter-in-law. A difficult time when my children were sick, that was always difficult and nerve-wracking, hoping you'd get better. When you had tick bite fever, that was very difficult. There were many times when the war broke out in Rhodesia. There were many difficult times when I was left on my own because my husband is my first... No, you weren't born then, so we won't talk about that.
You can talk about that.
I can talk about that.
You can talk about whatever you want.
When my first husband went off with some other female and I was alone with the two children, totally alone, no income, no... You know, it was trying to survive and support... So, yes, there were many, many times that were difficult. But thank goodness, difficult times, what goes down has to come up.
Yeah. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influence in your life?
I think one always says your parents. My mother was... She had a lot of chutzpah. She had a lot of go. She survived Nazi Germany. She survived being orphaned from the age of 8. And later in life, she became rather bitter, which was very sad. I mean, very much later in life, because of what had happened during the war. She wanted to correct all the wrongs and all the murder of the millions of children, etc., And this played on her, and she taught me an enormous, enormous lesson that I was obviously going to be a lot like her, and I am a lot like her. I even see her in me when I look in a mirror sometimes. But I clearly remember making up my mind that it was okay to be like her, but I didn't want to carry the bitterness she carried. I would take the good parts and leave behind. I could see that. So she taught me unknowingly an amazing lesson. And my father, I didn't see a lot of my father, but he was a wonderful man. He taught me also in his own way lots of wonderful things. I didn't spend enough time with my father, but he was a strong man. And he was the one that said to me, "You can't run away from your problems. You can't pack them in a suitcase. If you pack them, you're packing your problems and it'll go with you."
Okay. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
I think lots of advice. And one of those things would be to not be so shy and afraid to say what you feel. I learned later in life to open up and just, and sadly, now I'm not sadly, I don't know if it's wrong, I shouldn't say sadly, but I often say what I'm thinking. I talk, I'm open. I wish I had done that as a teenager. I think that's a chapter on its own. If I really think back, the more I talk about it, I think the more will come forward. Get out there and do things and face people. Don't be scared of people. They all make mistakes. It's not only me that makes mistakes. And if I could realize that as a teenager, it's okay to say I can't. And it's okay not to look to be the best. You're not here to win a popularity contest. Some will like you, some won't, and those that don't like me are going to lose out. And I think I wish I'd known that as a teenager. I learned that a little later in life, and it's helped me enormously.
Okay. Can you tell me about one or two people that you remember who have been particularly kind to you in your life? If they were here, what would you say to them?
I think many people along the way have been kind to me, and sadly I don't remember names. Sometimes I have flashbacks of something, but many, many people have been good and kind to me along the way. There are a lot of good people out there. And what would I say to them? Without their hands saying, I'm here, hold my hand, I wouldn't have become the person I am today. And I like to believe I am a positive, strong person. Without seeing the goodness in others, maybe I wouldn't have it in myself. So for them to know that they've all been a tower of strength in their own ways.
Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today?
Oh, yes. I don't know if they shaped me. Life itself shapes you, but how you deal with it afterwards, I think, is very important. For instance, people that are children that are badly treated as children will very often grow up to do the same to other children when they become adults, etc. So if we can take what we've learned out of life and turn it into a more positive thing, not use it against us. Now, ask me that question again, because that came out of my mouth first. There was something else I wanted to say.
Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think have shaped who you are today?
One that comes straight to mind, I must have been about five, six. My mother took me to a park in Johannesburg. I don't think I was more than 5 years old. And in the park on the other side of the fence were children looking into the park, but they were children of color, black, brown, etc. And I went up to the fence and said, come and play with me, come inside and play with me. My mother picked me up. I started screaming. Women started to verbally attack my mother. And she took me home and I couldn't understand it. And she said, there are some crazy people in this world. It was all to do with, excuse my expression, bloody apartheid, which is too terrible. With children, oh, it's awful. Anyway, it was to do with apartheid. She said, there's some crazy people in this world. If people didn't see color and just saw people, what a wonderful world it would be. And I made up my mind then as a little girl that when I'm a mummy, I didn't know if I'd be a mummy, obviously, but when I'm a mummy and I have lots of children, they will play with all the children in the whole wide world. And I think that shaped me a lot, to see people as people and not as colors or shapes or anything like that.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
Oh, Clint, my happiest memories of all memories was the day my children were born. Each one was my happiest memory. Am I still recording? It's something you cannot even describe or explain. It even wants to make me cry. You hold that little bundle in your arm for the first time. And I thought I was the cleverest woman in the whole wide world. I had produced a real live person. They were without doubt my happiest moment. Oh, I've had many happy moments, but that. And then, of course, when your little one starts smiling and taking the first step, and all of that, they're wonderful times.
Right. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Life is still teaching me important lessons, and I'm still making a lot of mistakes all the time. I've learned not to judge. There's just so many. Not to judge, not to criticize, live and let live, let be. To try and be kinder. I love animals and I'd like to see people thinking more about animals' feelings and children. There's so many lessons, if only we would look. And they're there. They just need working through and not being judgmental of myself. You know, you like me or you don't like me, and if you don't like me, it's your loss.
What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
I suppose the same thing that millions of other mothers will say, I'm proudest of having brought 4 beautiful children into the world.
And professionally?
Professionally, supporting my family and literally on my own, managing to make things work through my work, reaching thousands of people, and of those thousands, I know many, many, many have changed the road they were walking on to being more positive about themselves. When somebody meets me and remembers something that they were in one of my classes, I am proud of that. I'm proud of achieving what I've achieved. I think I could maybe have achieved more, but it doesn't matter. I'm still learning, and I won't stop trying.
What are you most grateful for?
Every morning I wake up, I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm grateful for the love of... Am I still recording? I'm grateful for the love of my children and my beloved Alan and the love and care around me. I'm just grateful the sun rises and I'm there and the sun sets and I'm there and I can wake up the following day. There's so much to be grateful for. Just stand outside and listen to all the beautiful things around. The grass, the flowers, the wind. I'm grateful. Life is beautiful. I'm grateful I've got life.
Can you tell me about the silliest thing you've ever done in your life?
There's so many stupid, never mind silly, stupid, silly things I've done in my life. I can't even record one. I'm actually going to... Can you record? No, I've just turned to point to my husband, Alan, and I said, can you record some? But he hasn't been in my whole life, has he? And the stupid things I've done. One of the stupid things was go on holiday thinking I couldn't afford to take my children, which I couldn't, but to try and find myself. And I never really found myself by running away. That's exactly what my father said. When you pack your case, you pack your troubles.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
Clint, most probably hundreds of things that don't come to the surface. But yes, there is. I'm going to say to you, to tell you, and you're going to be very cross with me, I'm going to say you've got the most beautiful little daughter and you're the best father in this whole wide world. I've never seen anybody so doted and devoted to your little girl, but don't overspoil her. You're making a rod for your back. You don't like what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I've seen it. She's got a room full of toys, and you go and buy more. She doesn't need it. It's okay to say no and let her understand there's a no and a yes when necessary. And as your mother, I can see what's going to. She's a wonderful little girl and I love her dearly. And I think that you can see that. But, oh, you're a wonderful father, but you go over the top. Don't make a rod for your back.
Okay.
No is okay.
How has your life been different than you would have imagined it? Sorry, let me read that again. How has your life been different than how you imagined it when you were young?
I've got more sense, more chutzpah. I never expected to kind of end my life in another country. It's chalk and cheese. It literally is chalk and cheese. I've got a little bit more sense, and I can, as they say, also wear that red hat and sit on the pavement and eat ice cream at 6 o'clock in the morning if I want to. So yes, my life is different.
What did you think it would be?
What did I think my life would be? I thought I'd grow old in one time in Rhodesia, and then I would grow old in South Africa. I thought that's where I'd get old. I think I hope for high hopes often, and life isn't like that. You can take the wrong corner and it becomes more difficult. As they say, we open doors in our lives, we don't realize we're doing it. But I'm happy where I'm at.
How would you like to be remembered?
I'm going to reverse that question. Clint, how would you remember me?
I'd remember you as fearless and a huge heart and always putting people first.
What could be nicer than that?
How would you remember you? Or how would you want people to remember you?
I would like people to remember me and to smile and not be afraid to talk about me, to talk about the good things and maybe not the good things I've done, whatever it is, because if people talk about me, I will live on. And I live on in you, and I live on in your children. The blood will carry on living.
You taught me how to succeed and never give up. You gave me strength.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. I have always said my motto, and I've passed it on to you, reach for the sky, go higher, and never ever give up. There's always a way around something. Life actually owes you nothing, Clint. It really doesn't. If you look at the pattern of life, it's a little wave. Sometimes life will reach an absolute high. That's a wedding, a new baby, a house, just something wonderful. It'll come back to normal. Sometimes it reaches rock bottom. That's a death, a loss, a divorce, just something terrible, terrible, terrible. But what goes down has to come up. And every day changes things. Never give up.
There's
always hope. And without hope, there's nothing. Hope is a very big word.
Yeah.
It's important.
If you knew this was going to be our last conversation, is there anything you'd like to tell me and share with me now and to pass on to our children?
To pass on to who?
To my children, to tomorrow's children, to the grandkids, the nieces. If this was going to be a
lost conversation. That's a question I could write a book about. Clint, try not to be so impatient, especially with your loved ones around you. And take more time to listen. You seem to know the answers before they finish their sentence. Try and be more patient. And I think more than anything, be your best friend. I'd like to say to my children and my great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-children who I'll never, never know, love yourself and be your best friend. If you can look after yourself and do what's right for you and go with those feelings, not with what people tell you, what's right for you, the rest will flow. If you want to do what's right for somebody else, you can't control their life. Control yours, do what is best. Be your best friend. That's the only way I can say it. And never hate because of something. In fact, I'm going to read a little something here. It's very tiny. And why I've got it on hand is at my age I need a diary because I can't remember all the things I still have to do and need to do. And I've got this in every diary. I take it from one year to the next. The first one is, no one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin or their background or their religion. People must learn to hate, and if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. And that was said by Nelson Mandela, Madiba. And something else, if you always do what you always did, you will always get what you've always got. And the last thing I'm going to read, how odd of God to choose the Jews, but odder still of those who choose a Jewish God and scorn the Jews. Be proud of who you are, irrespective of what your color, creed, whatever. Be proud of who you are.
Okay. Literally, the last question ties into this question. But thinking about your family many, many generations from now and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them, any wisdom or advice you would like to share? I think you've almost said that.
I think I've almost done. Life owes you nothing. It's actually given you the best gift life can give you. Whatever it throws at you once you're born, and the gift is life itself. You've got life. And once you get to a point, please God, your parents will bring you to a point where you can make up your own mind. And whatever you do in life, there are consequences. They could be good consequences or bad, but it's what you have done. So don't think, oh, I can go and do so and so, and it'll be all right. It's not always all right. There's consequences to what we do. But we've got to get to an age, obviously, Clint. When you're little, it's difficult.
Can you tell me a story about any lessons you learned from your parents?
I think I've told you one I learned from my mother. Just watching how bitter she became. A very wonderful woman with a lot of chutzpah. Chutzpah means, you say spirit, but it also means cheek in a nice way, doing things without worrying about the consequences. Not always a good thing, but I think also a good thing. And what was the question? I've forgotten.
Lessons you learned from your parents.
Right through life, not only our parents teach us lessons, people teach us lessons. People teach us to love or to hate, and how we deal with those things is very important. You've taught me many, many, many lessons, believe it or not, my son. You've taught me some amazing things in life. And the courage when you bungee jumped and you were terrified of heights. I've often thought of that. I couldn't even do that. I do silly things, but that I couldn't do. So, yes, we learn lots of things. But go with your heart and feel if you can or if you can't.
Okay. This is the end, or towards the end of the interview. Is there anything else you want to say before we close off?
It can't be finished. I like talking. There's still a lifetime to talk about.
You've got another. There's another. Several minutes if you want to talk about some other
you
stuff.
You mean I'm finished 45 minutes?
I'm finished with all the questions
you
that
haven't.
I... Yes, I have. All the questions that I've got are finished.
You have been... You and my all my children have been the best things in my life that have happened to me, Clint. Without you, I can't even imagine life. And I've been so blessed that you've all turned out so amazing. You never stop amazing me. I am so proud of you. I really am so proud of you, proud of all of you with your achievements. If I had one wish, though, it wouldn't be for you. It would be for my beautiful, silly daughter who smokes. I wish you would stop smoking. If I had one wish that I know could be achieved, relying on something to boost our, like people rely on drink to boost their morale or to take away pain, it'll pass if we work with the right, with other people. People put out their hands, take them. And all I can say is, thank God for my children. I can't believe that's all you're going to ask me. Life is full of things. I want to talk more.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I'm sure there was something new.
I've gone through all the questions, everything.
If I had my life over, what would I do? I think I would find a really good man like you, a daddy that's as good as you are, and I'd have a dozen children. And I'd be in the best place in the world. All the children. I love children around me, and animals, and just nature. I don't want a lot. I don't want big houses or all of that stuff. It's only stuff.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the job that you had, your career?
The job I've loved most in my career, I was once a manageress of a large supermarket, a very large supermarket. I loved that. But the job I've loved most is teaching unarmed combat. More than anything else. It also gave me the opportunity to go on platform. But it was not only that on platform. When I did acting, I was on platform when I loved acting. But that was my stage, and I could pass things on to people who needed motivation, who needed to be lifted, who needed to discover themselves and believe in themselves. My unarmed combat, I called my talks Aware, Alert, Alive. Is that my time up? Aware, Alert, Alive. And being more aware of what's around them, being more positive that they have the right to say no or yes when they want to, and to believe in themselves. I teach them how to get out of sticky situations, scary situations. This also involved counseling and just giving people another window to look through. That I've loved more than anything else was my lecturing and teaching unarmed combat. It's also what supported us. It's what gave us a roof over our head eventually when I got into it. I tried many things. Well, I must tell you something I did, which was very funny. I'm a lousy cook. I've always been a lousy cook. Not only my children tell me that, and I'm not very fond of cooking. But when we first went back to South Africa, I was born in Johannesburg and then went to Rhodesia. I was taken to Rhodesia when I was a little girl. I mean little, I can't remember the age, 7, 8, somewhere around there. And then went back at the age of 40 to live in South Africa again. And I needed money to survive for the children. And a job came up to go into running a big, to do catering for 300 employees at a factory. If I think long enough, I'll think of the name of the factory, but that's
IBM.
Not important.
It was IBM.
Oh, you remember it.
I remember it very well.
It was funny. And I applied to be the chef while the chef was on leave for 2 whole months. With fingers crossed, three or four other people applied, but I actually got the job. Went into the kitchen. Oy vey, what a... But they kept me on. Don't ask me how they kept me on, but they kept me on. I had to make soup. So there was a huge cauldron of cold water. And what does Jeanette do? Pours the powder into the cold water, and of course it went all lumpy. What I should have done was cream the powder first, heat the water, and then do it. So you can imagine what I was like as a chef. But they actually kept me for the 2 months, and somehow I made it work. I believe we can make anything work.
Yeah. So just to close it off, just want to, Mom, you have been a role model for me in my life, and as I said, all my strength, I believe, comes from you. You've taught me, for me, you've taught me the most. I wouldn't be where I am without you, and you're the best mom I could have ever wished for.
I'm the only mom you've got.
I am.
I don't think I've always been the best mom, but I did it the only way I knew how.
For me, you've been the best mom.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've learned about life, and I've learned doesn't matter what life throws at you, you just keep on pushing. And I've got my stubbornness and bullishness, I think, a lot from you.
Oh dear. Yes, I can be a donkey sometimes, can't I? But then that, I suppose, is going with your own instincts. But if you see somewhere where you've got to not be the donkey, you need to be able to take that step back, and to say sorry is a good thing, to be able to say, I am sorry, I really, really never meant to hurt you.
Okay. Right, thank you.
And you're very special, my Clint, and I love you, and may you grow from strength to strength.
Thank you. I'll end it here.
And when I'm not here, I'll always be with you anyway. Just talk about me.
I will.
Okay. Was that 45 minutes?
That was